welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism. We are so excited to be back with another episode. This is going to be a part one because unfortunately we had a lot of tech issues and we sat down with an amazing, wonderful guest, and we don't want you guys to miss out on her amazing insights. So we want to try and plan a part two for you so you can hear the rest of the interview, but she has some amazing insights for us.
Definitely. I feel like I learned a lot that I'm going to put into my own life, and gave such great advice about the workplace in general and being a woman in the workplace and career. And I wish it didn't get cut short, but you know what? It's okay. I'm going to introduce Sabine. She is the founder of Gideon Enterprises. She's an entrepreneur, leadership consultant, speaker, and executive coach. She is the founder of She Leads Network and the host of the podcast She Leads Now. She is passionate about helping leaders and individuals tap into their unique brilliance and align with their highest values and potential. Her book, Lead Her Ship Reloaded, just released, where she talks about gender diversity and leadership, specifically the gender imbalance we see in organizations and the workplace.
We are going to link her book and her website and everything in the show notes. So definitely go check out her resources because she has a lot. And we're going to get into the interview, part one.
And this will not be the last you see of Sabine.
It will not. Welcome to the show, Sabine. We are so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I have been anticipating this conversation with you two for quite some time. So I know the audience is in for a good conversation.
Yes, we are so excited. Let's start with talking about your book, your new book. When did you release it? What's it about? What inspired you to write it?
Yeah, thank you for that. So the book is titled Lead Her Ship Reloaded: Reimagining, Redefining, and Rehumanizing Leadership. And so what really actually inspired me to write this takes us back to the beginning of the pandemic, where obviously everyone was kind of in this space of self-reflection and answering the question, who am I? What do I want to do? Is what I'm doing aligned with who I am? And so we started to see trends like the Great Resignation and, you know, women having to really step outside of their career path, if you will, to either become school teachers, be caretakers for family, and organizations started to suffer. But the narrative was from a place, or at least I didn't feel it was coming from a place of appreciation of like, wow, women were really carrying a lot, both in the office and in the home. It was more of like, oh, now we have this problem and we don't have enough people. And so that kind of spurred something in me where I was just like, okay, it's a good thing that women are redefining for themselves what they want work and life to look like. And as being someone who has been very career driven, I know for other career driven women, that's probably not an easy decision to be like, I'm a step outside of the workforce. And the fact that we have to choose, that piece I didn't feel was being highlighted enough. So long story short, I got this this idea of the title for a series, Lead Her Ship Reloaded. And I started reaching out to my network, my colleagues, my peers. So these were individuals who were executive coaches, who were in human resources, who were in DEI. So a lot of women who were dealing with many of the challenges that organizations were facing and experiencing it themselves. And I just wanted to have conversations like where we as women, because we've obviously proven that we left a workforce, that it created a huge gaping hole. Where are we not showing up as leaders? Meaning not in a leadership role perspective, but us seeing the power that we carry as leaders, regardless of how we're operating. And so we had those conversations. And then, you know, you kind of do a project and you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's done. And then it wouldn't leave me. It was just like, nope, this conversation needs to continue, because what I started to see was, you know, the pandemic started to die down and then we started going back to normal. And I was just like, no, like we've made too many strides in these last 2 years at the time to just go back to, for lack of a better term, complaining about the patriarchy and in the sense of like corporate, or feeling disempowered. And I wanted to bring the conversation back so that we can not only be empowered, but move into a place where we were owning our power. The world had already shown us people like the prime minister in New Zealand, right? The world had already reflected back to us that when women are in leadership roles or given the opportunity, it is a different feel. It doesn't mean that one is good over the other. It just means that there's a lot more inclusivity. There's a lot more diversity. There's a lot more looking at the bigger picture and how our decisions impact the broader mass versus our male counterparts sometimes, where it is a little bit more narrowly focused. So with that, I, you know, took out some themes from the conversations that we had and really dug into them and put together the book. And so that's what we have today, Leadership Reloaded, if you can see that. And so it really just helps. It's meant for women, but it also helps organizations identify where they can close the gap, the leadership gap for women who are looking to climb the leadership ladder, as well as what does that look like for the next generation of people who are coming into their leadership, coming into their identity. What support do they need so that they can feel a lot more comfortable and confident as leaders when they actually take leadership roles?
I love that you have brought up this conversation, because I never thought about the pandemic affecting the workforce as much as it did. Like, I think a lot of times we think about the pandemic and we're like, oh yeah, that was crazy, and we move on. But there were so many things that were happening with the workforce. And like you said, there were so many strides that we had made as women in organizations and leadership roles. And we don't want to forget about that. Sabine, I imagine in your book, you talk a little bit about the dangers of the gender imbalance in leadership roles and organizations. And we know that that does cause problems, but can you explain what specifically happens in organizations when there's a unbalance of leadership power between men and women?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. So if we just take it back a little while, and by a little while, I mean decades, to when, you know, women really started to come into their power in real life, right? So you look at Women's Equality Day, which took place in August, or takes place in August every year, and it commemorates women here in the U.S. getting the right to vote. Or getting that approved, and how big that was, right? The fact that we were citizens, you know, fighting in wars and supporting all of these initiatives, but could not even exercise our voice or our power at the ballot, right? And so once that took place and women were then allowed to vote, it wasn't just about voting. It was, this is an exercise of power and a privilege that many women were given. It took a little while for women of other races, but certainly women in general. But it also birthed a lot of different movements and different opportunities. So Planned Parenthood, you know, that was spurred as a result, or maybe after that. So you look at some of the things that we have now or have access to, or resources that service us. A lot of that came from people speaking up, right? Or coming against what was once a social norm. Then you look at how it plays out in the workplace, where women started coming into the workplace. We were limited to administrative roles, like very service-oriented roles, until, you know, a few of us realized we were smart and we started commanding other roles. And then you started to see the bias really play out in I would say probably like what is now the boomer generation, where there's first generation bias versus second generation bias. So first generation bias was when, you know, women would get pregnant and they would get fired, right? Or God forbid they got married and, you know, it was deemed, oh my gosh, she's married, she's not going to take the work as a priority, let's get rid of her, right? So some of these very overt biases that were taking place based on natural life happenings for women. Then we get past that, right? And we're thinking, oh, you know, there's equality, but really there isn't, because even to this day, there's what we're calling second generation. Well, I didn't coin the term, but it was part of my research. But there's second generation bias. And that's where, you know, let's just say a man and a woman, they are considered high potential, they're climbing up the ladder. And an opportunity comes maybe to send one overseas, right, for an expat role. Likely, or as you study, or not as you study, but studies show male, if it's a male manager, they're likely to be like, oh, and I'm just making the same up. Let's send Jim, because you know what? Susie has a family, you know, she's probably not interested and da, 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 da. So that's one example of how decisions are being made based on bias, based on the assumptions of where women may have their priorities. And so when you look at the leadership or the, what do you call it? The glass ceiling, stuff like the glass ceiling, or you look at the cliff, the career cliff, or the broken rungs and all those pieces, all of those things exist because there's still bias around what women are capable of doing, where their priorities are. And granted, you know, the Great Resignation is probably something that I feel was a step forward in the movement for women, but also is also a couple steps back. Because as we know, when women step outside of the workforce from a compensation perspective, right, that's money that they lose out on over the course of their career, from a skill base, unless they're still, you know, working on their skills, like they're a little behind. And so if we're thinking about how does that affect the pay gap? How does that affect us being able to move into senior or executive level positions? Every time we have to take a time out to be the caretaker or to, you know, take care of something personal, that is a few steps back, if you will, as far as our career and as our advancement.
There are so many assumptions about women in the workplace, and it's very interesting. For example, you brought up when a woman gets pregnant. She gets questions like, when are you taking maternity leave? How long are you going to be out? Like, who's going to be your backup? That kind of stuff. But when a man is having a baby, which is just as great for the man, right? There's no questions about paternity leave, no questions about how is work going to be affected. And that's just one of the many biases, but I think it's really clear in the workplace for women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And society in general. I saw a lot more companies as a result, and maybe it's more publicized now, but certainly as a result of the pandemic or coming from the pandemic, more companies have revisited their leaves where it's not just maternity leave, but it's parental leave. And they're given the option. Although when you look at the statistics, men still take less time than women. So even in situations where the organization might allow for both parents and maybe even equal time, men still elect to take less time away than the women do.
Yeah, and that definitely is the gender roles that have been assigned by society, because typically men are the providers. That's what the gender role has been assigned to them. So that does make a little more sense. But I think it's important that we are aware of these biases in organizations. Otherwise, there's never going to be any progress. And we've already made so much progress. So we want to keep that going.
Absolutely.
For sure. I want to go back to something that you very briefly touched on. But when you were talking about voting rights and talking about women of color and how it took a little longer, obviously we know in the workplace there are, there can be issues, like no matter where you are, of lack of equality for all races. So have you ever experienced that, like in the corporate world as a woman of color navigating that whole world? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yeah, I have. And the funny thing is, you know, sometimes you experience stuff, especially earlier in my career. So to give you a little bit of background, I'm actually an immigrant. I migrated here from Haiti when I was just shy of 4. So I've spent most of my life here in the U.S., but certainly my experiences because of my culture are different than, you know, someone who was born here and this is kind of their ancestry. And so I was told or taught, you know, very early on by well-meaning immigrant parents that the way to succeed or the way to get out, so to speak, is to work hard. And so I went into, you know, school, college, you name it, everything, first generation, everything. And so when I got into corporate America, I just had the mindset of you got to work hard. You put your head down, you do the work, someone's going to recognize you, right? Because that's what I had been taught and I believed. What I quickly learned or soon after exercising that strategy is that putting your head down and doing all the work only gets you more work. that it does not actually necessarily result in someone tapping you on the shoulder. And at the time, I have to be completely honest, I've never adopted the mindset of, I don't even know how to term this, but I've never adopted the mindset that the things that were happening to me or the things that I perceived were happening to me was because of the color of my skin. I don't know that in any part of my life that I would, even if I was being discriminated against, and I'm not saying that I haven't been, I never identified with that as racial discrimination, if that makes complete sense. That's not an identity that I've ever chosen to adopt or had to adopt, quite frankly. So as I noticed my peers and even people who are above me, like getting these really cool opportunities. And I was just like, wait a minute, he's mediocre at best. Like, what's going on here? And so I forgive me if there are any Bobs listening, probably not. But if there are any Bobs listening, this is not against you. But I started asking myself, well, what is Bob doing? Or what would Bob do in this situation?
Hi guys, this is Kenz, and I'm sitting here editing this episode, and I didn't just want to cut it off when the tech stopped working, because this is when it started to get good. And I'm so sad that you guys aren't going to be able to hear the rest of our conversation, because we had been recording for like an hour after this still, and we just lost all of it. So I wanted to give some points that we were talking about after it cut off and everything got messed up. And Sabina had just started bringing up the concept of what would Bob do. And this is something that we talked about for quite a while. And the whole point of it is thinking to yourself, well, what would Bob do? Bob is, in stereotypical narratives, he's just a cis hetero white man who is rising up the corporate ladder when he's probably doing very mediocre work, and you're probably doing that job better, and you are not seeing the results. And so the whole point that Sabine was making with the what would Bob do concept is, think about, what would Bob do? Would Bob sit back in this meeting and just take a few notes and be quiet the whole time? Or would Bob jump in and give his opinion? And would Bob take risks? And would Bob network? Yes, he would. And so put yourselves in the shoes of Bob. And that is going to help you be more confident in putting yourself out there in the workplace and knowing that you do belong there. And we also talked about that quite a while, is realizing that you got this job for a reason. You're meant to be right here. You earn the job. You do a good job. And you should also be getting the results that Bob would get. So hopefully that makes sense. I'm really sad that we can't play the conversation with Sabine, because she's just such a corporate baddie. She knows what she's talking about. I learned so much from her. And as Haley and I mentioned in the intro, we would love to do a part two at some time if our tech can work out. But keep those concepts in mind and definitely connect with Sabine. We're going to link everything in the show notes. She is very prominent on LinkedIn and shares a lot of really helpful tips. And I think, as most of our listeners are like Haley and I, where we are in our early 20s and we're figuring things out and getting into our careers, she's a really great person to look towards and to follow, because she has so much wisdom to share. So be sure to connect with her. And we will see you guys next week with a brand new episode.